Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Advocacy and gospel news for the persecuted church. I am Tower, and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy Broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program. This show is not a call-in show, and therefore we do not take calls. We also do not respond through social media and ask that you would send all correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Thank you. And today is July 24th, 2019. And the scripture reading for this week is Numbers chapter 30, starting at verse 1 or 2, through chapter 32, verse 42, and Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 3. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 51. And Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, also on Instagram. On Twitter, you can find us at hashtag WatchmanIS216 and on also at hashtag Warn Radio. You can listen to all our shows by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. We also have shows on Blog Talk. And be sure to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. This week we feature Visions of Sugar Plums and Socialism. Yes, everyone has visions. The prophet, the priest, the king, and many of today's purveyors of change. There is no doubt some visions of change, like the Wright brothers and their airplane, changed the world. We have had many such people who, through their visions and strength, continue to mark the history of mankind with great inventions. Also, national sins, sighing and crying. National sins are evident. Does anyone really care? Is anyone in the church, in Hollywood, in Washington, concerned about the prevalent rebellion going on in America? Here we discuss the mark of Christ. We look at the sighing and crying for the sins of a nation. Yes, grieving and seeking God over the national sins of the nation called America. So be sure to read those pertinent articles and pass them along to your friends. You can read them at warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And now, before I welcome in the Watchman, a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Good.
Well, here we are again.
Going on?
Well, it's the end of the month again.
I know. Hard to believe.
You know, I mean, we're in August, and around here, August is getting ready for fall. Fall's getting ready for winter. Winter's getting ready for January. January's getting ready for spring. I'm already into next summer already.
Well, I'm not ready for fall or spring. Fall is okay. I mean winter, not spring. I'm not ready for winter.
Yeah, I'm not ready either. It just seems like this year has just been even faster than normal. I mean, there's a lot of things we've been doing, a lot of projects and everything that we're working on is just busy and, you know, just not even a moment to stop. It just flies by, and we've got certain projects I'm working on, and, you know, it's just like there's not enough time. I mean,
well, I know. Seems like it.
Yeah, and of course I don't get into the news. I am aware of the news. I have a regular app that I have designed with our feed on it of those various major news places that we check out, but I don't allow myself to get too involved emotionally in these things because it's all just a bunch of daily fodder. But I do want to remind you to read this latest article, National Sin, Sighing and Crying. It's a pertinent article, and we've already got, you know, that going out, and, you know, it is pertinent to America and to all Christian believers today, and it is something you need to read. A lot of these, actually, a lot of these I ought to put in a book and go from there. But, you know, today, Amazon removed another major video, and it had to do with Islamic Sharia and how certain things were happening. It was a warning on Islam, if I got it right. And, of course, Bezos people removed it. So, you know, Amazon is not a friend of true conservative Christianity. Neither is Facebook, Google, just about all of them are not friends. And it just gets to the point, you know, I mean, we're not having any trouble right now, but I stick mainly to doing our advocacy program and our teaching of the Word of God. But one of these days, when we started back in 98, and that was the end time part, we actually began in 73, a little after 73. But at any rate, that doesn't make any difference. The thing of it is that I had warned that we would get to the point that the internet would not be a place for Christians at all. The internet is a big place, so there's going to be a place that will be carved out. It will be a secret place. It'll be hard to find us, and only Christians will be able to find them. And I really believe that we're setting up for the Antichrist, the beast right now, because of the way America's going and the other nations and how they're acting and how the major countries are formulating open borders and things. You're falling, and also how the hatred of Christianity is formulating itself ever more. So I see this whole, this whole thing's coming down, it's really where I have always believed it was going. I knew it was going in a certain direction years ago, and the Lord has already put it in our hearts about a lot of this. We know what the nations are like. We know. I've warned people time and time again, the internet is not your friend. So you better be prepared for what comes. And there again, this article, National Sins, I advise you to read it and read it right away, go over to warren-usa.com or danaglinsmith.com and read it. So when we're talking about things, you know, Tower, Iran comes up on the radar of a place that Christians are always persecuted.
Yes, it does.
You know, who was it that was in Iran, that guy, years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Abedini. And he said at the time, it was either 100, I think it was 100 people face execution every month in Iran, every month.
Yeah, it was something like that. Or death,
yeah,
they were killing that many a month.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Now,
it's like
astronomical
to me.
Yeah, an Armenian was granted a conditional release after serving half of a 5-year sentence. He acted against national security because he had a house church. You know,
brother.
Iran has an army, the Republican Guard. Iran is always boasting how tough it is. And who are they picking on? Christians that want to have church.
Yeah. They're cowards.
I mean, you know, they're not afraid of this Armenian Christian. They're afraid that if they allow him to get together with other Christians, that the God of the Christians will save more Muslims. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of Muslims getting saved. Because if all of Iran suddenly became Christian, that fat butt Iranian Ayatollah over there that has blood on his hands and the devil in his heart, this guy would have heart failure because they'd kick his butt out of there quicker than you could shake a stick.
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line of it is, you know, this is the way we are around the world, you know, and then you put together everything that we're looking at, along with the hatred of Trump, and you know, Trump has a number of Christians in his administration, open professed Christians that stand up against anti-Christian hatred. And, you know, the bottom line of it is we are facing a battle right now. And, you know, if one day this thing's going to turn the corner of where it's headed. And when they do that, I mean, it's going to be hell, period.
Yep.
Not that I really.
It's not going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted us to talk about this international religious freedom. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, said they were going to make persecution a top priority. And the goal is to hold accountable countries who deny the people the right to freely practice their faith. They're going to form an alliance who will stick to this, and then they're going to hold these countries accountable.
Well, they need to start with China and North Korea. Pakistan,
I know they do it.
Iran,
and they've
Korea, Turkey.
And they've,
yeah.
They have spoke out on China. And, you know, this year's ministerial had hundreds more in attendance compared to last year. And he said it proves that religious freedoms matter to a lot of people, billions of people around the world. And I'm really happy that they were able to do this, that they did this. You didn't see anything like this under Obama or anybody
heavens,
else.
No.
But nonetheless, well, you know, when they had this alliance, they had an annual conference of countries that were interested in this. It was after they had met that they had put this together. And CBN reported on this, and I don't think outside of CBN and a few private conservative websites you're even going to see this, because the liberals don't do it. But when they had the conference, the Cuban government prevented a certain amount of them from attending. And Pompano said, such is the thuggish, intolerant nature of the current regime in Havana. But he called China the worst offender of religious freedom, saying it's truly the stain of the century. He noted since 2017, the Chinese government had detained more than a million Muslims and other minorities. In China, he said, the Chinese Communist Party demands control over the lives of the Chinese people and their souls.
Wow.
And, you know, of course, the president heard firsthand. We saw the pictures. Did you see those pictures on social media of the president surrounded by people from persecuted countries that were in the United States? Yeah, he was surrounded by them. And one lady called Esther from Nigeria said, please, thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity to see you. And she said, I'm Esther from Nigeria. I can call myself a Muslim in the United States of America, but not in Pakistan. Otherwise, I'll be punished, another man said.
Huh. Wow, that's good that they were able to meet with the president and that this government's doing something about that.
Well, you know, it is pretty bad. And when we really talk about this, we do have some stories out of China. Are you ready with yours?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
This story comes to us from China Aid. I'm not sure how to pronounce this town or province. It's Goose.
Don't try.
Goose How. Okay. Well, anyway, on Sunday, June 30th, authorities in this province broke into the Zion Reform Evangelical Church. During their worship, they subjected the congregants to inquiry and confiscated some of the church possessions, and when asked to sign official documents, the church leader wrote down, God grants the right to worship. And he did that to demonstrate the church was not subject to the mindsets and activities of the authority. And according to the reports, his name is Zhu. He's the pastor, the church leader. He received a notice of and rectification and reform from the Municipal Ethnic and Religious Affairs Bureau and the organization of religious events at the church, and said the church violates the regulations. And authorities across China often operate to shut down churches. And they go in and investigate them and close them down. And the officials are often pressured by their bosses to visit churches on Sunday if they do not have the day off. And information from an anonymous pastor details strict religious policies from the government that are even impacting churches associated with the Three Self Patriotic Movement. And that's China's state-run, technically legal church network. The churches are subjected to constant surveillance, and the officials are even installing facial recognition cameras. They are told they must sing the nationalistic songs as a part of their worship services. And individuals that are affiliated with these governments will preach propaganda from the pulpit alongside the pastor's sermon. And these congregations are often viewed by non-government churches as an instrument for the secular government due to their continued politicalization of the religious field. And fewer people are speaking out, according to the pastor, against this persecution, because they know that if they do, that they will face trouble. Instead, the people hide themselves and exist peacefully. So, yeah, it's not good in China. They're stopping everything.
According to the pronouncement on that, it's Kui Chow. It's K-W-E-I-C-H-O-W. They said alternately, it's Kui Chow, a landlocked province, and in the central province, part of the province of Kuiyang or whatever it is. Not that I'm Chinese, but and this came to us from China Aid, which brings a lot of these things. But see, how would you like to go to church knowing that your face is all over the cameras and your pastor has to give political sermons? And instead of singing something about the cross of Christ or something, or in the garden, you have to sing the national anthem or something of China.
Yeah, and you have to. And if you're gonna say any preach Christ, you'll probably be subjected to being shut down, arrested, tortured.
Well, you know, they have, they do, and I didn't know this, but there is a picture here of an official sign that persuades people against Christian beliefs. It's in Chinese that China Aid had included in this. So you see these around China, and they tell them, don't become a Christian. Don't do this. That, you know, we are coming up to this. You can see the writing on the wall, Tower.
Oh, you can. It's horrible.
You know, in my lifetime.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was thinking when you and I were raised, you know, China was a closed country. That was one thing. And then it opened up and now it's closed again. And it seems to me, I remember a number of preachers at the time, many, many years ago, saying that China would close the door again. It used to be known as the bamboo curtain. And it was one of those that you wouldn't do anything at all. You couldn't have a Bible. There were no Bibles. There was nothing. It was pretty bad. But that was a long time ago. But to see all of this anti-Christian, anti-Christ behavior, this follows 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It leads up to Revelation 13. So it's just hard to believe how far along, you know, you seem to get, you know.
Oh, I know. Well, when I was growing up, everybody in our block went to church, or we lived outside of town, but everybody in our little community out there, they all went to church. Everybody did. And now.
And Sundays.
Very few.
Nobody was open on Sunday either. Remember that?
No. Yeah, I do.
A blue Sunday, you know, no business on Sunday. I mean, there was a time when America did have a lot of people who observed it. Now the Gentiles observe Sunday as the Sabbath, as opposed to Friday night to Saturday night, you know, the traditional one. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that things were so different back then. It is really hard to believe where we've come. But see, we've known about this for ages. I've known about this since Tower and I got married. I was shown these some stuff. Well, the stuff that I was shown hasn't fully come to pass yet, But the fact that I was told that America would cease to exist in no uncertain terms, that, you know, you could really say that's happened now, but yet America is still here physically, but the America that we knew is gone.
It is. It's not the same at all.
But in another story coming from ChristianNews.net, there was a Syrian man, okay, and he supported ISIS. He plotted to bomb a church, and it was in Pennsylvania, and he wanted to take revenge for the brothers in Nigeria.
Brother.
He has been indicted on terrorism charges, but the authorities had found out about it. The authorities took note of his social media accounts, and it came up on the radar when he wrote that he was hoping to Allah that he dies in a way that does not require the traditional funeral cleansing and burial rituals. And they, upon further investigation, they discovered he had communicated with a supporter of ISIS, so that allowed probable cause, I guess you'd call it, for an FBI agent who went undercover to pose as an ISIS supporter. To make a long story, you know, they met with him, of course, by accident. They got to talking about it, and, you know, the bottom line of it is he targeted local Yazidis and Shia Muslims who he despised, as well as an American soldier. Well, if you're in Syria, you know what the Yazidis did. They didn't do nothing. They were slaughtered. And Shia Muslims, I don't know why he would kill them. Well, Shia, not Sunni. He would kill Shia. But he affirmed his desire to participate in an attack on American soil, where he wanted to die as a martyr. And so Olimar sent the undercover agent documents about creating explosives, and later told the agent a meeting he had decided to attack a Nigerian church. And he characterized the believers as Mushkareen or polytheists, and he wanted to destroy the church with explosives in the name of ISIS that would inspire other ISIS brothers in the United States to join together and take similar action. Now, this is one of those things that we have a lot of these people already here. And
That's right, we do.
We had even more come over during Obama's thing, but the bottom line of it is, for years and years and years, our borders have not been fully secured like they should have, no matter what president we had.
That's right.
At any rate, you know, to make a long story, you know, he wanted to do it, and they caught him just before he did do it. And he was in the process of doing it and blowing him up. It's a good thing they caught him.
Yeah, I think they came by him by across him by accident.
On the social media account, they did. But they had been following him.
Huh.
Well, you know, they... You know, you could say, well, they set him up, but, you know, when you have somebody like this, you know, and this is looks like a fairly young kid, but, you know, these kids grow up. He's 21, and he's a refugee.
He is young.
And, you know, here's a guy that is willing to be killed because he thinks he's going to go be with Allah.
That's sad.
It is. And, you know, I mean, it goes back to the same old thing, even over in Israel and the West, the Palestinian Gaza Strip. you know, when Arafat really started all that over there, they started teaching the kids blood hatred, just drilling it into them to hate the Jews and kill them. And so these many years later, you have had several generations, quite a number of them, who grow up with the blood hatred of Israel. So there's not going to be any peace over there at all. And there's not going to be any peace in Gaza Strip, because when you sow blood, the blood becomes a curse when you're doing this. And it actually curses the land. And I'm going to be talking about teaching on blood guilt on Friday nights for a while. I do this regularly. I don't do it every year, but I have done it a couple of times before. And I like to keep up to it. So be sure to look for that. It's just sad that when you get right down to it, this is where we're at. You know,
yeah.
It's just like, you know, do you really think that if you go kill a church full of Christians, that you're going to go to heaven? I mean, does that even make sense to you? And he would say, yeah, it does make sense to him. He wouldn't do it if it didn't make sense. To me, it sounds foolish. It sounds like a one-road ticket to hell, you know.
Yeah.
But you cannot argue with them. But what we have found out through former Muslims who become Christians, there's a ministry that we have reported on several times, Mideast Bible, and made up of exclusively former Muslims who have become Christians. And they are able to reach former, Muslims for Christ. And they're not the only ones. There's a lot of these. And there is a lot of Muslims coming to Christ, among others. It seems rather pathetic that we see people coming to the Lord all over the world, and then America, we're falling apart, falling away from the Lord.
That's right.
And so...
It should not be like that.
No, but so at any rate, we do have another one from you, Tower. Are you ready for this one?
Yes, this is about a Christian woman stoned to death in Syria. Her name, Suzander Kirkhorst. She was 60 years old. She was a teacher in, she was retired, but she had been a teacher, and she also helped with youth activities at the church, and she was a gardener, and she taught Arabic, and she liked working with the youth, and they were very concerned, the church was, by her absence. And it was the next day that the parishioners found her body. She had been kidnapped, raped, tortured. For 9 hours, they figured she had been repeatedly raped and tortured for a period of 9 hours before she was stoned to death. And it was the parishioners from the church that found her the next day.
That's disgusting.
And that's what her... It is. It's horrible. And that's what her autopsy revealed. And the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights also verified the incident. And according to forensic... Oh, we don't... I already... read that. I'm not going to do that again. But it is widely reported among locals that Suzanne's attackers were members of the Jihad al-Nusra terrorist group. And they maintain a strong presence in that area. And where this woman is from is a Christian village, but most of the women have left because of the violent aggression from the terrorists. And some estimate that only 18 women, including Susan, were living in the village. Now there's 17. And the Syrian war has raged for 8 years, and it's opening the doors for Islamic extremism to take a strong foothold. Jihad al-Nusra is a Syrian offshoot of al-Qaeda. They and many other terrorist groups are active in this province, which was supposed to provide a safe haven for internally displaced persons. I don't know if they're going to capture them or what they're going to do, but this is a horrible situation for a woman to have to go through that. That's just outrageous.
Well, they deliberately target women like this because it's in these the Muslim jihad to humble the women if they're not Muslims, and that includes raping. But see, the raping and pillaging goes back to Muhammad and how he made war. So this is war, and
it is.
You know, and the thing of it is that all of Europe, practically, including the UK, is full of Muslims now. Muslims, there's not a Muslim group anywhere that has been successfully integrated into Western society. Not one.
No, they don't want to. They don't want to be. They want to change the country.
Yeah. They live in a Western society, but 98% of the time, they will live to themselves, with themselves, and separated from the country, teaching things in totally different. And that's why you can find their mosques and the imams in them preaching anti-everything doctrine. You know, if they're in the UK, they will castigate the UK and its way of life and everything. In America, they do the same thing. And imams are responsible for a lot of deaths, especially over in Pakistan and other places that we have been following, where they instigated the believers when he was talking to them, preaching to them, so to speak, and they go out and find these Christians, especially if the Christians are in the news for something. And we reported on many of these mobs killing Christians in Pakistan. And it's interesting as we leave this horrible incident in Syria that out of the UK. Now, there's been a number of reports on persecuted religious groups, but according to a recent UK report put out, of course, by the British government, they admit that Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world and that the persecution is still on the rise. And they said that there was a number of factors, including aggressive nationalism and rise of Islamic extremism. Now, most of them, and you can get into Turkey and Erdogan, they want to have a caliphate for a worldwide control, worldwide Islam. You get into Iran, and they are Shia. They are waiting for the Mahdi and for a worldwide caliphate. And so you have a lot of these independent groups, including ISIS, the Taliban, and others who are working toward worldwide caliphate. They're making war. There's no end in sight for many of them because their doctrine teaches them if they die for jihad, they'll go directly to heaven. So it is one of those things. So the treatment of Christian minorities is a bellwether for how all minorities are treated, said Sally Axworthy, a British ambassador. So if Christians suffer, that usually goes together with the abuse of human rights more generally.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, you look at it and you look at the statements. Well, it was the UK who rejected allowing Asa Bibi to come into her into their country for safety. She wound up in another country, but Open Doors estimates that about 345 Christian believers are killed every month. But
wow.
I can tell you that when we're reporting this, and we do it once a week, there's never a shortage of Christian persecution, and some of it is horrendous. It's interesting to note British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt commissioned the report in order to examine the extent and nature of Christian persecution. He says that the UK itself must take a firmer stance on the persecution of Christians, and they've been weak on it. That's a fact. And Asa Bibi is just one example, but he goes further to say the sense of misguided political correctness that has stopped us, meaning the UK, from standing up for Christians overseas must end. At home, he says, we all benefit from living in a tolerant, diverse society, and we should not be afraid of promoting those values abroad. It is a sad fact that Christians are the most persecuted religious group in modern times, and I'm determined to show that we are on their side. And I am happy
Good
for that statement. And I'm happy because that the Trump administration with Pompeo and others are putting together religious persecution alliance because these are the things that need to be done. Now, when I was covering, I covered the 2014-2015 ISIS invasion of Syria from our websites and stuff and getting hold of special contacts through the internet and things. And I've been on record as saying that I believe absolutely that we've seen more shedding of Christian blood in modern history than we have at any other time, period. And I believe that is
like it.
Yeah. But, you know, we're not even to the tribulation. So, I mean, you know, it's just like, we're not even in the tribulation yet.
I bet it seems like it some places.
Yeah. You know, I was going to do the thing on Sudan first, but I think what we need to do, if I can find it, we have a report from Jerry Golden. I want to make note here that even in Israel, the chaos of what is going on around the world, including in America, cannot be understated. And it is these things that Jerry Golden takes a look at in his perspective from Israel. And the thing of it is, he talks about music. Now, you and I have talked about music. I believe music is a weapon of the devil in the world today. I believe he mm-hmm. uses it. Music in heaven is used by God. And music is one of those things that can be used for worship and uplifting, but it can be. And sound can be manipulated. And so Jerry actually talks about the weapons of destruction, speaking on sound and vibrations. And, of course, soothing music soothes us. And if you have raucous music like rock and roll, it can get you agitated, excited, or whatever. Now, he was
that's right.
Watching a National Geographic show, and he found out, and I've actually heard of this. I've seen this thing happen, and that's levitation with the right frequencies.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen that experiment before, that they actually caused it to happen. Now, there are people that can levitate without that, with the means of the supernatural. But there is a way to get things to lift up off of what they're sitting on. But
wow.
The interesting thing is that when you place a frequency at 110 kilohertz, you can manipulate the mood swings of human beings.
Wow.
And so it's easy to see that if you get, and I remember, and he mentions this, how people are hearing strange things coming out of the sky. And I talked to you one time about it. They were hearing like trumpets and other things just blowing out of the sky. And there was nothing around, but they were hearing these things going on. And, you know, now if this is right, you have, and if they're 110 kilohertz, they can be designed to manipulate. Now, I don't believe that they can manipulate a person if the person doesn't want manipulated. If you can control your thoughts, if you know where you're at. But if you, like a lot of people, under, you know, influenced by drugs, you're always on the internet, you live on social media, you've limited your world, you can easily be manipulated by sounds, manipulation. And we know that they have the ability to stimulate your brain for sleep. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that certain things, just about anything around you, can have influence on your dream state. So there's a lot of things. So what he's saying is, with all of this happening and all of the science, is it able for people to manipulate entire countries or populations? And with the coming of the Antichrist, and I'm on record saying that he's going to have a new level of technology for the internet, and a new level, totally to get people to worship him. And of course it's going to be supernatural as well. So it's easy to see how things can go south real quick. But the thing of it is, he calls the things happening in the United States total insanity. And he says inside the Democratic Party is where it's mainly happening. And he says it's impossible for a sane person to make any sense out of it. And he says the only way I can come to any kind of understanding is to consider some kind of mind control is being used on certain masses. But see, the thing of it is that while it can be that, it's not that. God turns people over to their own lusts. He turns them over, and he doesn't mess with them since they won't listen. Gives them over to a reprobate mind, and you could easily say that. But he goes on to say, when we stop and consider the evil changes being made in public schools and the control of every major media by very evil people, we begin to see how all the events that are happening around us have been in preparation for years now. And so he says the global attack on Christianity by Islamists and atheists and devil worshipers are no longer undercover. We know that because I showed you that one thing on social media. You know, he was against Christianity, and he was celebrating the fact that Satanism, the Satanic Temple, is now classified as a religious organization.
Oh, I know.
And it says, I'd rather reign in hell than rule in heaven.
Yeah. No, it was the other way around. I would rather... Yeah, reign in hell, then serve in heaven. Yeah, he didn't want to be a servant.
Well, he isn't going to be ruling and reigning in hell.
Nope, he won't.
He is going to be in hell going through torment.
Yep.
And he goes on to talk about the murder of hundreds of thousands of Christians throughout Africa and the Middle East, which go unnoticed by Christians in the U.S. and Europe. We've been saying that all along. And I'm glad to see that he notices it. He says the majority of churches across Europe are either closed or have been turned into mosques. And he says in the U.S., only the giant churches preaching prosperity replacement theology or are saying, don't worry, we'll be raptured before it gets bad, are successful, and their pastors have private jets worth millions of dollars. I heard one say he can't fly with the common folks. They rob him of his anointing. So,
oh, my goodness.
And he says, today they close down large cities with gay pride parades. Hundreds of thousands march down the street completely shameless of their sinful lifestyle. He said, I would venture to say the large majority reading this never heard of a transgender 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah,
and because
of
politically correct speech and hate speech, expressing your belief or even thoughts can land you in jail. I mean, this is from Israel, folks. I write about this stuff. And if you read my latest, read any number of them. Go over to my website and look at all the articles I've been writing. I can tell you right now that this country is in trouble more than you think. So that's from Israel. And so as we look at it, wouldn't you say, I mean, he's pretty spot on from Israel.
Oh, yes, he is. You just hate to see that, though.
Well, yeah, you do.
See what's going on.
Well, the other thing of it is, it's hard to believe that we're actually going through it.
I know.
Tower and I have been talking about the end of days for how long?
A long time, more than 20.
The first time we mentioned what was happening to America was way back in 70.
Yeah, we used to talk about it in the 70s.
It's hard to believe. Well, at any rate, we got a few minutes left. We're going to have to get out of here, but... be sure to look to the Lord. We've covered a lot of important things.
Yes, we
have. And I think that's...
Christ is our solid rock. Everything else is sinking sand. What we see is sinking sand. What we can touch, feel, see, it's not solid.
That's right.
You have to put your faith and hope and belief in Christ, the solid rock. Because this world is not a good place. If we didn't have our hope in Him, we'd be crazy.
We'd have nothing.
Absolutely.
Well, don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. We have three Twitter feeds. We have three Facebook pages, a profile, and a group. Of course, the group has nothing to do with what we're doing here tonight, but... Instagram. What else we got? Oh, LinkedIn, Tumblr.
Yeah. Spreaker? Oh. Did you mention Spreaker?
Well, it's not a social site, but that's where one of our broadcasts. We're broadcasting through Blueberry and its associates. Spreaker and its associates, Blog Talk Radio and its associates. We're on TuneIn. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Acast. We're on, Google something. I don't know. We've got a full network of these things that, so at any rate, but
well,
you
be
can
be sure
just,
to join.
Go ahead.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines. And that will be the Prince of Peace, Isaiah's prophetic book, part 11. That'll be tomorrow night on Battle Lines. So be sure to join us for that.
Well, we're going to get out of here.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for listening whenever you do. May the peace of God that passes all understanding rest upon you and your loved ones and give you trust in Him, keep your hope in Him. May God richly bless you. We love you. We pray for you, and we thank you for all you do. God bless you. Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, thank you for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow night. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.